everybody, and welcome to the Geek Actually After Show for episode 87 for the 5th of June 2010. I am David McVeigh, and I am still joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
That's good. It feels weird doing it without headphones on, can I just tell you?
It's also really weird to be doing it with two. It's been a while since we've been
It's been a while since there's just been the two of us.
It's going to be a very intimate show.
It is.
Just me, you, and you.
Just so that people understand what we're talking about, Celine, who was in our main show, had to leave us. So it's just Josh and I for this week's after show, and we're just going to have a little chat. I don't think it's going to be an incredibly long after show this week, because not a lot really has happened, though. There hasn't been a whole lot this week. Although I do want to start the show, Josh, with one... it's kind of morbid, I must say. It is kind of a morbid thing, but...
We were right.
We were right.
More importantly, Mirren was right.
Mirren was right, and I will say, my mother...
God, your mom's going to lap that up.
She will. My mother has always told me throughout my entire life that celebrities die in threes. And...
How far does that go, though? Does that include, like, TV people?
It's people who are... So, musicians, TV, film. It's people who are in the entertainment industry. It even goes down as far as novelists, I believe, if you're really stretching and reaching for it, trying to find some...
if your thing comes to an end and, you know, you still haven't managed to get a third person.
That's right. You're trying to make that connection. But we actually have three legitimate... celebrities, because in the main show we reported that Gary Coleman died and then Dennis Hopper died. Well, I just got this report. This is why it's not in the main show. I just got this last night after all the show notes were written and everything. And I quickly just threw it on the printer. Reuters put this article out, basically saying Golden Girls actress Rue McClanahan died of a stroke.
What?
So she passed on. She was 76 years old. For those who ever watched Golden Girls back in the, I believe it was the '80s. Mm. It was a funny show, and it was all about the older women and all this stuff, doing all the things that they do. And she passed away. So I'm very sad to say, because she was very talented. She was a very funny actress. So so that is the three. So we hit the reset. We hit the reset now, and if one dies, somebody in our chat room is a J Raggy is in our chat room. She was the slutty one. Yes, she was the southern. Yes. She was the Southern Belle one. Yeah. Did anyone play? J Raggy says, did anyone play Postal 2? Because in it, you get to kill Gary Coleman.
Yeah, you did.
That's just sad.
There's pictures floating around the net.
Oh dear.
Which is very very distasteful.
Yeah.
Kind of funny, though.
Speaking of distasteful, because we like to segue, anywhere we can.
Yeah.
Another thing that didn't make the main show this week, because once again, I only got the report very late in the day. We all know that the 1984 film Red Dawn is being remade. Now, if you haven't seen the original Red Dawn, it's basically about a Russian invasion of America. At that time, they basically said that, and this was the marketing point on the film, was that no invasion has ever happened on U.S. soil. Right, and so the whole idea was the Russians parachute in and basically take over the country, and a bunch of kids fight back called the Wolverines, and it's all very wish fulfillment and everything else. It was a lot of fun. I quite liked Red Dawn. It was John Milius wish fulfillment. However,
Very long. That's the one problem I have.
Long,
with it.
Yeah.
When I watch it again, I'm just like, my God, can we just?
It actually slows down in the middle. It's like the formation of the Wolverines and all that sort of stuff is really interesting, and the ending, the conclusion, is all very got some really good stuff in it. But there's that whole middle section where they're trying to find their parents in the camps and all, and it kind of slows down a bit in the middle. I think that's the problem, because the film itself is only 100 minutes or something, so it's actually not that long a film, but it feels a little long. You're right. MGM is remaking it now. What makes me laugh about this, of course, is isn't MGM having all the financial woes at the moment that are holding up The Hobbit? So anyway,
Don't tell anyone.
Anyway, this time in the remake, China and Russia together are invading the U.S.
China and Russia. Way to avoid...
Well, the two communist countries.
Yeah, exactly. Way to avoid, singling out one kind of person.
What I think is funny, though, is the fact that what brings all this up is the fact that China... is really irked by this, and they've actually come out and publicly complained about it, saying, it's unfair portrayal of them, and all this sort of stuff. You sit there and go, dude, it's just a movie.
It's a movie about, people invading the U.S. I'm down for it, man. Put us up for it. New Zealanders away, man. We'll come invade you. I mean, it wouldn't be much of an invasion. It'd be one plane dropping a bunch of people, all right? That's
a bunch of Maori, a bunch of angry Maoris, right?
Well, look, if you want to avoid cliches, do something different. I reckon it'd be hell of a lot of fun.
As I was saying to you before the show today, I saw that there's a parody of the New Zealand advertised tourism campaign where it comes up, and the campaign, of course, has all these beautiful shots of New Zealand, comes up 100% New Zealand.
Yeah.
And in the new parody, it comes up 100% New Zealand, 0% Army, 0% Air Force, 0% Navy, 0%... What was it? Easy Target or whatever it is, you know. If 0% resistance.
That's right.
You know, you sit there and go, yeah. Hmm. But, you know, I just look at it and go, really, this is a movie. And how many times have we seen this situation over the years where films come out and people get all up and down? Do you remember, you may not because you're actually a lot younger than me, when Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom came out, there were picket lines. There were protesters outside the cinema, Indians protesting, saying how it was an unfair portrayal of Indians.
Mm.
It's a movie, and it wasn't saying all Indians were like that. It was saying the thuggy cult was like that, you know? And I just get kind of tired of the whole thing. You sit there and go, you know, realistically, if there was ever going to be a country that was going to invade America and try and conquer America, it probably would be the Chinese, if the hostilities ever raised to that point, because they outnumber the Americans 1 billion to 1. It's like, I don't know. You know, I just look at it and go, there's always been that argument that America's got all this technology in its in its arsenal. But you know what? When it comes to sheer numbers of troops, all China has to do is overwhelm with numbers. And they could basically conquer anyone they wanted to.
Yeah.
Because they've got a huge army. I think their army is bigger than the entire population of America. So, I don't know. Anyway, it just kind of tickled me that Beijing has got all up in arms about this Red Dawn remake. And all I can go is, will anybody even see the Red Dawn remake? You know? And if MGM can't fix their financial woes, it'll probably never get finished anyway. So go figure. Now, last week we talked about the iPad, of course. And in the last after show, I said that this week I was going to try and get my hands on it. In the main show, we kind of touched on this. But I got hands on with this device. And I got to say, I loved it.
Yeah.
It's just, it is orgasmic to play with. Now, I'm not saying that it's the be-all and end-all, as we said in the main show. You know, there's going to be Android tablets coming out, and there's going to be a whole host of this sort of stuff happening. But it really is just a sexy, sexy piece of hardware.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you were most impressed with Pages.
I was most impressed at watching a proper full application be put to use on a touch screen. That's what I'm impressed with. Not Pages by itself, but the concept of creating something that you can do what you would do on an average computer at the same speed, if not faster.
Yeah.
And be able to lay it out and do it, you know, and make it look professional and do it all from a tablet.
Now, if they would only put printing ability into the iPad, it might actually be useful.
Well, look, dude, it can't be far off. Like, I mean, if they just create, or even just an application, which is just a Wi-Fi, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's an HP Wi-Fi print for photos at the moment on the iPhone. It's not perfect. There's no settings on it, so you can't
make it. It's not difficult to make a document printing program.
Now, the question, of course, is Apple actually interested in putting, because print drivers are completely bloated pieces of software, especially, without no offense to them, but especially HPs. I mean, the printer that's sitting behind me over here, the driver package that you download to fire this printer is 380 megabytes.
Wow.
Ridiculous. I mean, this is complete and utter bloatware. And now they're actually talking, HP actually let go this week that they're talking about creating an app store for printers. What the hell?
An app store?
Would you put? What apps would you run on? I don't even understand that concept. I don't even understand that concept. Wi-Fi, we're having a chat room is going crazy here. They're saying, even though Apple equals evil, made sexy. Yeah, we already had that one. That was last week's show.
Didn't we actually call the show?
Last week, we also have Dungeon Hunter HD on iPad looks pretty decent. Have you played Dungeon Hunter?
No, I haven't seen
that. No, I haven't seen that one. I have to have, next time I'm in a store, I'll have to see if they've actually got. Who in the chat room has an iPad? Has anybody actually bought one yet? I'm very curious to know if we actually have any iPad users. I want one desperately, but I'm not allowed to buy one yet. but I really, really do want one. They are really, really good. I took a little geek in to actually have a look at them yesterday, and he was a little underwhelmed. And I got to say, His biggest issue was he actually had problems, and I guess, you know, he's 10 and he has had fine motor skill issues. His history is quite public, but he actually had trouble with the pinch. He had trouble with the multi-touch interface, which I thought was really interesting. And so he was kind of underwhelmed by it because he had problems controlling the interface.
Dude, like, I mean, so did I when I first used it, though, to be honest. Well, even an iPhone, when I first used an iPhone using the pinch thing. Now, like, I've got to the point where I've managed to streamline it so that even if I'm doing something with my other hand, like, say, eating or whatever, I can put one finger on the thing and use my nose. I've done it before, and I will do it again.
Jay Reggie says, credit card maxed out, laugh a lot, might go to JB and have a play. Do so. JB's also got it loaded up with some pretty neat stuff to play with.
Yeah.
Labyrinth 3D is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I really enjoy it. I've got Labyrinth on my iPhone. I really do like the Labyrinth app. And the way the iPad one works is really sweet. It's very swish indeed. I really like it. I like the fact that when you tilt it, the shadow changes.
Yeah.
On the whole thing. It's a little bit disconcerting when you first try it. But Northy says they've ordered one but haven't got it yet. Northy, did you order it from the Apple Store? Because what happened with the Apple Store is as soon as the pre-order is finished, if you ordered it, you don't get it till mid-June. However, it is available in a lot of shops still. So you could have just walked in and bought one.
Where is Northy from? Are you local to Sydney, buddy? Chat room.
Raggy says JB is cheaper only by $1.
Yeah, only by $1.
$1. So a JB, the base model is $628 at Apple, it's $629. So it's only $1 cheaper. Yeah. Although, you know, all those single dollars all add up after
they
a while.
Do.
So.
They do.
Still one saved. Still $1 saved. I see. I understand. Mm. Now, in the main show, Josh, we talked about a film called Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. Mm-hmm. Now, you actually did a Forgotten Films on this on the website, which you can read.
That was actually the first one, I believe.
The first Forgotten Films on geekactually.com. Mm. And I do recommend you read the Forgotten Films posts if you haven't read them, because Josh is he's kind of going through all these older films. And they're not all bad films. The concept of the forgotten film is these films that you may just have forgotten about. Some of them are awful, and some of them are great. Yeah. So it really is. And I believe you've got a couple lined up for the future.
I have more.
But the film is really good. I thought we kind of touched on it when we were talking about horror, about what you can do on low budgets and stuff like that in the main show. And I think it really is a great example of a low-budget horror film that works really, really remarkably well. So for those who haven't seen it, you can get it on DVD. It is available. It is basically a fly-on-the-wall documentary crew following a guy who's calling himself Leslie Vernon as he is going to make his big debut as the next big serial killer. Mm. And it's kind of a unique film because it's set in a world where Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers existed.
And Freddy Krueger
actually existed. And they were already famous. And he was going to make his mark as the next big serial killer. And this crew follow him around, showing how he sets it all up in advance and how he works out, gets fit for it. And it's brilliant. And it's very, very clever. And it doesn't actually become a full-fledged horror film until the last 15 minutes. Last 20 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Other than that, I remember watching it because you and Celine passed it on to me. Now, Celine made sure that before she left here today that she said we have to give her credit for finding this film.
She and Ben. I'm not letting her take full credit for it. Her and Ben were the ones that got me to watch it because I had been giving them a usual Al style tour de force of thousands of movies that they had to watch. So they felt obliged to show me something. And yes, I was incredibly impressed by the film.
And then you came to me and said, you have to watch this. And so I, of course, watched it.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. It's such a clever film. And it's actually not that scary. It's
no, one of the, absolutely
because
not.
It's all laid out in advance for you.
Yeah.
It's not really scary.
And it's so humorous is one of the things that I love. There are shots in that film that floor me every time I see. One of my favorites is Leslie Vernon, unfortunately, when in interviews, is not the best public speaker. And fails to kind of get across his points. And one of my favorite things is when he's describing and outlaying his plan at the end, he talks about, and I couldn't get this out of my head when we were watching the new Nightmare film is him describing the closet as the womb. It's a safe place. And she makes a line where she says, "Does that mean you're pro-choice?" And the camera just switches around and he's just sitting there deadpan, just looking at like, "What? Why? Why would you even say that?" But yeah, no, there are some brilliant moments of comedy mixed in with some great things of humor as well.
And the guy who plays Leslie Vernon is just magnetic.
He is so charismatic that you just forget entirely that this man is a maniacal killer.
And also the other connection to our Nightmare on Elm Street films, of course, is the fact that Robert Englund is in it playing what they call the Samaritan.
No, the Ahab.
The Ahab, who is the Samaritan, basically. And the concept is that every serial killer should have his nemesis, basically. Dracula had his Van Helsing, you know, et cetera, et cetera. By pure fluke, Robert Englund shows up and thwarts something that he's about to do, and he gets so excited because he's got his Ahab. He's got his guy who's going to try and stop him. And it's just very clever. All the way through, it's really, really clever. To the point where they go and visit the aged serial killer who is now retired, who's living a very normal life with his wife. And, you know, and
his wife, who is an ex...
Victim.
That's right. Of his. She was the one that
got away.
Yeah.
And their first introduction to him, of course, is they have to go out and dig him out of the ground because he's in a
special awareness chamber or something? It's like he's buried himself out the back just to kind of get...
He's been out there for days. It's just bent. It's just this really twisted, bent film, and it really is worth having a look at. So if you haven't seen Behind the Mask, The Legend of Leslie Vernon, it is highly recommended. It is a little tricky to find. Because once again, it's one of those forgotten films where your local Blockbuster may not have it, but keep looking around for it because it is well worth having a look at.
And if you want a review, of course, it's up on the website.
And if you want a review, of course, you can go to geekactually.com and have a look at the Forgotten Films review. And if you are in the States, we have the link to purchase it directly from iTunes, from Apple. Yeah. Not Apple. What's it called? Amazon.
Yes.
Those are the people. Those people at Amazon. All right, so that was kind of what we were touching on in the main show about that review. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about today, and this is kind of, we're not doing news or anything, it's kind of a quiet after show this week because we really didn't have a lot on the boil, but we are going to go through a couple of big changes. I shouldn't say we are because we're still planning it. I just wanted to get some feedback from the listeners. So please send whatever we're about to talk about right now, send your feedback to feedback@geekactually.com and let us know what you think of this, okay? Or, of course, you could send us voicemail at 02-801-13167. Now, what we're talking about here is we're thinking about on the 100th episode, which is fast approaching. This is 87, so we're only, 13 episodes off. On the 100th episode, we're going to kind of rejig and redesign Geek Actually a little bit. Because after doing this for 2 years, you've got to shake things up a little bit to make sure they don't go stale. And one of the things that I've often talked to people about is the fact that, you know, Geek Actually is kind of a hard sell. We're a bunch of geeks. We talk film. We talk tech. We are unique in that sense. I don't think there are many other shows that talk film and tech together like this, but it is a hard sell. So we were kind of pondering this idea. My lovely wife, Katie, came up with this brilliant idea. Well, I think it's a brilliant idea, and this is what we want feedback on. On the 100th episode, we're thinking of kind of relaunching Geek Actually into a broken up show. And Josh is about to sneeze again.
No, I'm good.
We're thinking about launching it into kind of a broken up show. So we're thinking about keeping the Actually as the hook on all the shows. It will still be the same show. And this is the thing we want to be very clear about. We're not destroying the show.
We're not changing same people. About the show.
We're going to change the theme, obviously. Yeah. We're trying to get a new theme for it. And what we'd like to do is actually do the Law and Order thing where we have three separate themes. But all with the same basic riff in the middle, but with different styles. And we're thinking about breaking the main show up into two shows. So we have Film Actually and Tech Actually, but we'll record them on the same day. So just like today, it would be like we would do tech and then we would do film and then tech, doesn't matter. But we would do them as two self-contained shows. So all the film stuff would be contained in one show and it would go out on the feed as one show and it would be only an hour long. So each show would be an hour long. The tech actually would only be all the tech news and it would be recorded directly after the film show. So that way we can also break up the guests. We can have tech-related guests and film-related guests. And then we're going to do Geek Actually, which will be the third show, also recorded on the same day, straight afterwards. And that's the after show, where we can just geek out. And we can just talk about film, tech, whatever, just like this show. We can just talk about whatever comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the wrap-up show for all the material that has happened before. So we'd like to know what your thoughts on that are. So it would be one continuous live feed for Saturday. It would only be probably about half an hour longer than it is now, mm-hmm. because they're only going to be hour shows. And it would all be compressed. And that way, people who are only interested in the film component can just download just the film part. If you like both, you can download both parts. We'd put film and tech on two different feeds. Hmm. And the Geek Actually podcast will be on the same feed as film. So that would be kind of like the joke. And they'll be released like 3 days apart. So it spreads it out a little bit, right, on the audio feed. So just want to know what I'll still cast all... Yeah, right. Well, we hope you would. We hope you would pull all of them, because they would be a continuous show.
Mm.
It's just broken up into its components rather than being one large super show. Because one of the problems we have is we have lots of guests that we like to bring on, but some of the guests are not that interested in tech. Some of them are not that interested in film. Like, I'd love to bring in Denny as a guest every now and again, but Denny's not really that interested in the film side of it, but he'd be great for the tech side of it. So we could actually say, okay, on this particular Saturday, we'll have, say, Dave in or Celine in for the film section, and then we'd have our little 10-minute break in the middle. They would go home. Denny would arrive. Denny would come in and do the tech section with us. Or if they want to hang around, they can, and then everybody can just join in on the Geek Actually afterwards. So that's kind of the plan. So let us know what you think. feedback@geekactually.com. See if you like that idea, or if you hate that idea, let us know as well, because we are 13 episodes off. We are really planning that 100th episode. We're trying to really come up with something different. We've been doing, as I say, almost 2 years now. July will be our second year. And, you know, you've got to keep things fresh. You've got to keep things interesting. So I'd like to know your feedback on all of that, as to what your thoughts are on all of that. And I think I'm pretty much done. I think I don't have anything else to do. Have you
really
got any other news there, Josh?
I mean, like, we've got the we've got the fact that the iPad has been doing very well.
Oh, yeah, well, 2 million sold now, and sold out everywhere here. So,
well, we're announcing things. Should we maybe very lightly talk about the changes to the thing? I mean,
yeah,
like,
why not?
Certain people that have sort of been around our show, and by that, of course, I mean platforms, will know that we have been making movements towards the DLC logo, and people have been asking me on and off why. It is, of course, because we have been moving towards the concept of now becoming our own show, not because, and we need to make this very clear, well, Dave's in the room, of course, as well, which is that there has been no sour fruit or anything
Absolutely
like that.
Absolutely not.
It is literally because we want to kind of put them as two separate entities. They kind of always have been, and we, of course, wanted to launch a website and so on and so forth, so to separate them out, this just works better. We will still be in league with Betty, and I will still be a big part of Geek Actually, as I always have been. I don't think I could ever move away from reviewing films now.
No.
It's far too much fun.
I wouldn't let you anyway.
Yeah. So we will, of course, probably in, if everything goes well, about 2 weeks, be moving the platform show to what will be called DLC Live. This will go out on Ustream still. It will go out from a Ustream account.
Yeah, we're going to make the transition really seamless, too. We're going to try and make it as because platforms will just kind of morph into DLC Live. So we're going to try and make this as seamless a transformation as possible. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be able to kind of concentrate back on Geek Actually again. Because platforms was always your guys' show. I was just helping you get it
Absolutely.
Off the ground and put
yeah,
it off, yeah. the, off, the, off the deck.
Yeah.
And it's flying not quite nicely now, so it's ready to kind of... go off on its own.
Unlike Dave's show, unfortunately, we will be actually having to launch at first straight off Ustream. We will not be going to the site for it. We will have links for
Why not?
How to collect. I'm not quite sure how to do it.
Oh, easy to do. I'll help you set that up.
All right, cool. So apparently we will be. But yes,
you will find this show on DLC. What is your URL? rawdlc.com/live. I guarantee /live.
Okay.
I guarantee you that's what you'll have.
All right, so yeah, the show, if everything goes well, will be kicking off in 2 weeks. We will be going out with a bang from this place. We will be having a great final show. We have a lot planned. We have talked to most people so far that are in conjunction with doing this final ode to...
I don't even know how we're going to fit them in the studio, but we did it for the retro show.
So we will be having a reasonably good show, and we will just be kind of having a happy kind of send-off to the one show before we kick off in about 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, and we're going to make it very clear. I mean, Dave...
No, there will be no fireworks or CG strippers.
I don't know. I might be able to organize that.
All right, we'll look into it.
Greta might be able to do a strip for you guys. We'll see how we go. She might be able to do a little dance for you, if nothing else. And CG fireworks, that's easy to do. I could do that.
CG fireworks, we could do that.
Yeah. I could probably do fireworks. And let's make it very... I mean, Dave will still continue to guest every now and again on Geek Actually. Josh will still be on Geek Actually. I might even turn up on Raw DLC every now and again. You never know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how we go. We just needed to lighten the load a little bit on this studio because we've got so many things that we're trying to do as well. Mm. And you know, that, as I say, it was never anything like, oh, I need you guys out. Go. You know, it was all like, you know, this. It's like the analogy I would draw would be, it's like the baby bird.
Yep.
You're ready to leave the nest.
Exactly. And look, there's a lot of fun to be had with that. You know, this is probably a good place to launch it, but we will, of course, talk about it at Platforms.
Well, Platforms is the ultimate place to launch it. This is actually kind of a prelim. We actually have, I think there's a lot of Geek Actually who are people who also don't listen to Platforms, so they're probably going, what do I care? Mm. But for those who do listen to Platforms, this is what's happening. Mm. We've kind of been hinting at it for weeks now. I mean, this has been in the works for a while.
It's been kind of winked at, and it's been talked at with certain people and so on and so forth. It's just, now it's kind of a good idea to kind of start making it public. So that everybody doesn't kind of show up on a Monday night.
As I say, we'll make it as seamless as possible. And the last branded platforms show will be, of course, all of the information as to where to go for the next episode. Mm. And I think when you show up at geekactually.com and the Platforms link for the live Platform show is gone, it's going to give you a hint anyway. and what I was saying to Josh, one of the things we're going to do is possibly not this week's episode, but the next two after that, what we'll do is we'll actually put Platforms out on two different feeds. We'll put it out on our feed as normal, but we'll also put it on their new feed so everybody can start resetting their RSS feeds and get it all set up so that when that last episode of Platforms comes out, I would hope that the last episode of Platforms comes out has no downloads on my site because everybody will have already moved.
Well, they can still download it from your site.
No, sure,
as well.
But what I'm saying is that will be our indication as to know how successful our transition has been. If we still have...
How successful at the marketing of this.
That's right. If we still have all these people downloading it off my feed, we know that there's a problem. You know, so anyway, we'll see how we go. We'll figure it all out. And what we'll do is the DLC crew, of course, with their form, not just yet, guys, but when we give you the cue, you'll also start promoting it heavily as well of the transfer over, and it'll start getting around. So at the moment, this is just a prelim announcement. This is not formal, but it is a prelim announcement. And once again, feedback at geekactually.com or feedback@rawdlc.com for your thoughts on any of these transitions, moves, and what have you. Okay, and Josh and I will stay in contact with each other for feedback that we get on this.
Yeah, usually like almost daily.
Pretty much. So DLC crew is a pretty cool place. I hear the moderators are hard asses though. Northy, are you a moderator by some chance? anyway, so we've actually got a bunch of the DLC crew in the chat room right now. So, it's going to be a very, very interesting time, and I'm actually looking forward to our 100th episode. I think the 100th episode of Geek Actually is going to be fun.
It's going to be a mess probably as well, because I imagine you'll have more than one guest in the studio. So.
Yeah, I imagine we're going to get in. I'm really hoping to get Katrina back in soon. I'm really hoping that the film on our 100th episode will be interesting. Bagmup, who are you telling to get fucked? I'm really looking forward to it. And we've ordered the replacement microphone for our busted mic. Mm. So we will actually have another decent microphone in here so we can get some extra people in. So
I think one of the most awesome things I just found out by accident, man, was I was just looking at the referrals to the DLC site. And I've just noticed that in my haste to get that post up at the start of our existence, I actually misspelled one of the tags and put Mo Nation Races instead of Mod Nation Races. And we've actually had about 20 hits from Mo Nation Races. Oh, God. That's awesome.
That's fantastic. No, actually, the other, I put up a spelling mistake while we're full disclosuring. I put up that post about Mark Zuckerberg and his literal melting on stage. And in the post, I actually put up, he's like a high school kid who's been dragged in front of the principal, but I spelt principal wrong. I made principal. It like, it is a principal, not the principal. Right. And Atomic Betty, who, by the way, Atomic, we always refer to Atomic Betty. She's been like with us since the beginning. She's actually renamed herself. She was getting concerned
Geek
about
Betty.
Geek Betty. Now she's been getting concerned about copyright infringement. So yeah, Geek Betty. If you see Geek Betty, that is Atomic Betty. But she actually
loved Atomic Betty. It was such a cool name.
It was cool, but anyway. So Geek Betty has told me, she goes, she was the one who pointed out the typo to me, and she said, "But oh, you know, it kind of works." Even with, I've corrected the spelling now, by the way. But she goes, "The other spelling kind of works too, because he's been dragged in front of the principle of privacy." And I went, "Well, yeah, that does work, but that's not what I meant." So. Just look at Geek Girl on Twitter. Who's Geek Girl?
Anyway.
All right. So I think we've patted ourselves on the back quite enough.
Yeah, we've
just a reminder, we did it on the main show. This podcast goes out for the audio listeners. You're going to get this on Wednesday. If you are in the Eastern Suburbs, Randwick area, and you want to join the unofficial movie what is this? What the hell do we call it now?
Unofficial Geek Actually Movie Club.
Movie Club. That'll do. That's fine. If you want to join us, we're seeing the A-Team this week. It'll be at the Ritz Cinema. We haven't got times yet because we record this on Saturday and they haven't posted times yet, but it's probably 9, 9:30, somewhere around there. Check the forum, geekactually.com/forum. We put up all the times and the session details and everything. We put them up in there as soon as they're available. Sure. So if you want to join us... basically, by the time you get this audio podcast, if you want to join us tomorrow at the screening, you are more than welcome to come along. Listen to the main show. You'll hear us. We talked a little bit more about it in detail there. We would love to... Oh, I see what they're saying. Okay. Raggy is saying, just look at Geek Girl on Twitter. Apparently, she had copyright notice sent to her.
Oh,
so right. That's why Atomic Betty got nervous, I think, is because, yes, that sort of nonsense starts to happen. And so she thought, well, if she just calls herself Geek Betty, it works better.
Fair enough.
I can understand that. She was actually telling me, by the way, anybody in the chat room, just before we get out of here, anybody in the chat room got an iPhone? 3GS is the one we're actually talking about. Because Geek Betty is actually having problems. I was talking to her last night. She's having problems with her iPhone. Apparently, her iPhone just randomly stops. Like, you'll be in the middle of a call, it'll just cut out. It'll just, like, lose its connection. She's been saying that this is happening more and more often. And I said, I never have this problem. My iPhone 3GS works like a trooper. And it just, you know, I can be on a call for an hour, and it still holds up quite well. And I said to her, she really needs to take it back to Apple, because it's still under warranty. Take it to Apple and say there's something wrong. So she took it to Apple. They ran a diagnostic, said there's nothing wrong with it, but it's still happening. My suggestion was to take it back to Apple and say, you've brought it here once before, have another look at it, because I believe that I think they will replace it for her if she pushes hard enough. Yeah, see, Northy's saying no problems with mine. Apart from the screen being like an FU sometimes. What?
Wow. No, I mean, admittedly, I've had a few problems lately where I've been browsing websites and it just kicks me back to the main menu, but...
Yeah, that's just because the program collapses. That's exactly. A crash. But this is actually fundamental. The antennas, this is like the phone part of it is actually not working on her. It keeps going. Like, Raggy is putting in our chat room, iBin will fix it. now, Raggy. So Geek Betty, if you're listening, as I said to you on the phone, my suggestion is to make a genius appointment, go into the Apple store, and basically say, you've had it looked at, you said nothing was wrong, and it's still not working.
Yeah.
Push Damn it, right. Because it is on warranty, and every experience I've had with the geniuses has been positive. In fact, I took it in because I had a little glitch on the screen, and they replaced the whole phone for that.
Yeah.
So I think if you really... Oh, I see. Northy's saying that the screen just randomly turns off, normally after a call. That's kind of strange. Yeah. If it's still under warranty, take it back to Apple.
Yeah.
And look, that's the beautiful thing about having Genius Bars now and having the Apple stores is that you take your product into them. It's free to go and talk to them. And the geniuses are really good. They are really good at what they do. I will say that there is one issue I had, which is that if you are out of warranty, don't even try it. Because if you're out of warranty, Apple service is remarkably expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that that's a terrible thing or anything like that. It's their business. Let them run it any way they want. But on this iMac that I'm using to record the video feed right now, the DVD drive has died. Mm. This machine has been out of warranty for 2 years. It's a three-year-old iMac. Mm. And so I went into the Genius Bar yesterday to ask them what it would cost to replace that drive.
Yeah.
And they actually said to me, rough ballpark figures, about $350 for the drive plus wow. $100 an hour for labor. They wow. put the estimate at about $500
wow.
to replace the drive. Now, I went to macfixit.com.au and I can buy a replacement drive with all the tools and instructions on how to do it for $149. And it's actually actually a better drive than the one that is actually stock. It's faster, and I just look at it and went, why would I spend $500 to replace a drive?
Yeah.
No. So if you're out of warranty, Apple pricing can be a little bit steep on repair. Mm. And I think they do it. My personal feeling is I sometimes think they do it on purpose, because what they really want you to do is go $500 for a repair, or look, I could just throw an extra few $500 in there and I can buy a new machine.
Mm.
You know, they really want you just to upgrade the machine every few yep. years. So I think that would be kind of my feeling on it. Raggy said $800? No, $500. $800 was what I was originally quoted, though, for the replacement of the DVD drive in my MacBook Pro, which is virtually the same drive that is in the iMac. And for some reason, it costs an extra $300 to put it into a MacBook Pro. Luckily, my MacBook Pro is still under warranty and it was actually a free service. But I will say that the one thing I will say about these Apple computers, the first thing that seems to die on these machines is these super drives they put into. These super drives are really not that good. Compared to what you can get on a PC. That's right, PC drives. Raggy just put it, PC drive is $50. I just replaced the DVD burner in the PC down here, and that was a year ago, cost me $70.
You know?
So you can buy drives really cheap. Why is it that the drives in these machines seem to be gold-plated?
I don't know, dude. I mean, I am far from knowing what's going through those people's minds.
Yeah, and my other question about these drives is not only are they gold-plated, but why are they so slow? This has got a 12-speed DVD burner in it. The Apple Macs, which are supposed to be the highest in caliber hardware, is only an 8-speed burner, the super drives. So I sometimes feel like their drives are a little bit out of date, and I'm not sure why they're still using these drives. We should have faster drives by this stage. But that's kind of my little geek complaint for the day. All right, so I think we've just 20 minutes ago I said we were going to finish, and we've still been rambling on.
Oh,
so
just quickly.
Oh, here we go.
No. This is an incredibly short one. If anybody hasn't checked out yet, we just dropped up like 2 minutes ago a post for anyone that is a PC gamer. Huge news. A poster has been spotted around. I won't say where. You can find out more information from RawDLC.com.
Way to pimp your site, dude.
Yeah, sorry, man. But, basically...
Raggy said, Freeman!
Yeah, they have seen a poster which now says just the words Freeman and has a date, and it has the Half-Life symbol on it. Anybody that knows anything about Half-Life will know that this could possibly mean Episode 3 or something bigger. They have actually changed, apparently, the E3 announcement from Portal 2 to a special announcement.
Now, actually, this raises a good point. You actually said, because when I said, could it be Half-Life 3, you said, but we haven't even heard anything about a new engine yet. Isn't Portal 2 going out on the new engine, or is that still Half-Life 2 engine?
We don't. It's supposed to be modified. They haven't said it's going to be a brand new.
Because what I'm thinking is, if Portal 2 is on the new engine, Portal 2 has already basically been heavily promoted. There could be a Half-Life 3 sitting there in the wings.
Could be. We don't know.
This could all be coming out, because what they could be doing is orange boxing again.
Yeah. Look, at the stage, there's very little sort of, you know, explanation behind it, but the little bit that there is, feel free to drop a comment if you are excited.
RawDLC.com.
Yeah.
Go and have a check that out. Also, if you haven't been going to geekactually.com, I've been working my ass off. We're getting up we're getting up lots of posts every day. Greta's featured prominently on the front page.
What was it I said to you? If I didn't go to your site, I wouldn't know anything.
Greta's featured heavily on the front page this week because We put a Total Film t-shirt on her because it is now official. Total Film is the second highest referrer to our site. And we kind of had to put it up there because we were featured on one of their posts on totalfilm.com. 600 movie blogs you might have missed. Mm. And we are number 6 on that list. And I was so impressed. And we have been still getting hits. This was like 2 months ago, and we're still getting hits off of that. So all I can say is congratulations, go us. And we got to keep it up. And that's why the site's been – we've really been hammering the site to get up. Tell your friends. I really want to get those hits up on the site. We're trying to get it out there. So if you do like geekactually.com, put up links in places and comment. Every single post I put up, whether or not you like the posts or not is only determined by if you comment. I don't know. I mean, if you guys continually put up comments that you hate various articles, then we won't put up articles like that anymore, you know? So
yeah.
You guys got to comment, 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 comment. That's all I can say. And I think that we're going to get out of here, Josh.
Yep, I'm done, dude.
I think we're done. I think that's it for another After Show. Thank you very much for joining us. Remember to catch us at 12 p.m.-ish today. We were a little bit late, unfortunately. But remember, we're always late. We're always here at 12. The joke of it is, I mean, I put it in the chat room, but the joke of being late today, of course, was we actually started broadcasting. We were broadcasting for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And there was nobody in the chat room. We hadn't actually started the show yet, but we were broadcasting. I was watching the chat room going, boy, nobody there. And then finally you said, actually, there's 4 people in the chat room. I looked down and we'd been broadcasting out on the platforms channel for 15 minutes because there's 2 different feeds. And of course, nobody was watching the platforms feed because it's not a platforms time. So my bad. What is a Half-Life 3 nerdgasm that could result in death?
Yeah.
I'm down for a Half-Life 3. I got to say, the other thing we didn't put up in this show because, once again, it came in too late for the show notes was Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill real quick.
Yep.
Mark Hamill is the voice of Joker in just about all of the animated Batman, Superman's Justice League, all of the DC universe, basically. Mm-hmm. He's been doing Joker since the late 1980s as the animated voice of Joker, and of course was the voice in Batman Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to go on record and say, as far as I'm concerned, he is the Joker. I mean, no offense to Mr. Ledger. I love Mr. Ledger in the role. But really, I love Mark Hamill as the voice of the Joker. And I think it's really ironic that he became so good at that, considering that he really is kind of a mediocre actor when he's in the flesh. I mean, Luke Skywalker, I love Star Wars, but Luke Skywalker is really not a very good actor, all right? But he's retiring as the voice of Joker, and he said that he had planned Arkham Asylum to be his last outing, but the boys at Rocksteady have talked him into coming back one more time, and he is going to do one more spin as Joker, and that's it. He says he's not doing Joker anymore, and I'm just very sad by that. Yeah, I'm very sad. So here's to Mark Hamill. You have done brilliantly as Joker. Best thing you've ever done in your career, quite frankly. And on that note, I think we're going to get out of here. Yep. We have no video to lead us out this time, unfortunately. Nothing fun has really cropped up on us.
No.
Bye, everybody. We will talk to you more next week. Thank you.